Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Welcome back to a special edition of the MHR Radio Podcast and Mile High Report Radio Podcast here. Adam Malnati, Ian St. Clair, along with our special guest for the episode, Steve Atwater. The great Steve Atwater is joining us, future Hall of Famer Steve Atwater. Steve, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely, man. You know, if you guys want me on, I'm there. You guys, we kind of take care of each other in that regard. You guys come on our radio show. I come on podcast. And, it's great relationship. Great working with you guys. You guys give wonderful information to your listeners. And I think I told you this the last time we spoke, or one of the times before when we spoke, that when I was out of state, you know, you were the source for me keeping up with the Broncos. So I appreciate that.
We definitely appreciate it, too. So you got news last week that you were a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame for the second time. What does that mean to you? And what would it mean to you to get that recognition if you're able to become an inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame that Saturday before the Super Bowl in Atlanta?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that would make it super special is, being able to go in with Mr. Bolin. I would imagine he would be going in for sure this year. They say once people make it to the finalists in that category, the contributors category, that it's 90% chance they'll make it. So I'm pretty sure he'll be going in. And so to be able to go in with him would be an amazing thing, because I have a ton of respect for him, and just the relationship that we've had over the years. That will be etched in stone. Each time I go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I would get a chance to see, hey, Mr. B's bus right here. We went in the same class. So, and there's a lot of other sentimental reasons why it would be special to go in with Mr. B. But aside from that, to be acknowledged as one of the best players to play the game is certainly special. I feel like I played at a high level. I gave it everything that I had when I was on the field. I thought that the safety position back when I played, I thought it was important. Although I've read some scouting reports that said the safety position is the least important position of all the players. And I would just wonder if, you know, some of the voters in that feel the same way. But there are some safeties in, so can't say that no safeties are in, but certainly I think the safety group is underrepresented.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. We had Mace and Ryan on last week onto the podcast, and we kind of talked a little bit about that. And Mace had brought this up before. He tweeted it out. We've talked about it sort of a lot, the fact that from the All-90s Decades team, that first team for the All-90s Decades team is completely represented in the Hall of Fame except for two players, and that's you and Leroy Butler. No safeties. And that's sort of a strange thing. And then 2 years ago, Kenny Easley, in his Hall of Fame induction speech, sort of made a plea to, you know, to the committee, let's get more safeties into the Hall of Fame. It's an underrepresented group. This year's, does it feel safety heavy? And I, you know, just thinking about it, Ed Reed's a first time, you know, this is his first time up to be in the Hall of Fame. I would venture a guess that he's probably going to get in. He seems like one of those guys that
we know it's something wrong.
He was pretty good, as I recall. I remember him playing pretty well.
He was one of the best safeties to ever play. I know a lot of people say he's number one. I still give the nod to Ronnie Lott, and I got Ed Reed as my number two safety. But he's still just an amazing player. He played with a ton of heart. He did a great job of leading his team. I just couldn't imagine him not being a first ballot guy. Same thing with Champ Bailey too. I think he deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, but you know, some people I've heard say, well, I don't know about Champ, but you know, certainly Tony Gonzalez and Ed Reed, but I'm like, I think Champ is in that same category.
Speaking of the safeties and Kenny Easley bringing it up, why do you think the safety position is so underrepresented in the Hall of Fame?
You know, I don't know. It kind of boggles my mind because, you know, I think each position has a fair number of representatives in the Hall of Fame. I'm looking at it here. Well, I guess punters are a little underrepresented. They only have one punter in Ray Guy.
That's fine.
So I guess they can plead their case, and place kickers only four. But tight ends as well, not a ton of tight ends. So there's some other people who could kind of pound the table as well. But especially when you consider there are two safeties on the field at, you know, mostly all the time, sometimes three nowadays, you just wonder, you know, how the safety position isn't acknowledged a little bit more. And, there are a ton of players that we don't even really talk about. I mean, you know, Rodney Harrison, Bob Sanders, you know, the list can go on and on.
Dennis Smith.
I'm sorry?
Dennis Smith.
Oh, without question, Dennis Smith. The safety, Eric, I can't think of his last name, that played with the Cleveland Browns, Eric Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Darren Sharper, although I know he's in jail right now. But
on the field, he was good.
He would have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, too, I think.
You know, do you think maybe it's a stats issue? You know, we're big baseball fans, and there are specific numbers in baseball. If you hit a specific number, you're pretty much destined to the Hall of Fame. Whereas in the NFL, I feel like in some positions, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, those are stats-driven areas as well, or they can be. When you're a safety, it's not as much about stats as it is about some of the things that you do on the field that change the way an offense approaches things. Like, I would argue that when a team was preparing to play the Denver Broncos, they had to know where Steve Atwater was at all times. Figure out where 27 is so that you don't get killed. And, you know, to me, that's something that's not as quantifiable, right? You can't put a number on that. Is that maybe the issue?
I think that has something to do with it. Now, certainly there were safeties in our era that had, you know, 40. There's Steve Foley that played with us. He had 40 plus interceptions, and Billy Thompson, he's up there pretty high with interceptions as well, and just no love though. So I don't know if it's 100% that, but I would have a feeling that it does have something to do with it though. I think, well, I mean, when you look at John Lynch, let me see how many And he hasn't gotten in yet, but he's been a finalist. This is his sixth time being a finalist. John has 26 interceptions, and he played 15 years. I had 24 and played 11 years. So, you know, you can't really say that. It's just stats.
Right. It's confusing.
You mentioned Steve Foley. Steve Foley can't get his name on the Broncos Ring of Fame.
Exactly. And, you know, I always kind of pound the table for him. I think he's definitely deserving. There are quite a few guys around town who I think are deserving of it. But I think sometimes they look at, all right, well, how many Pro Bowls did he go to? Some of those. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. I would just imagine that would be kind of a part of it. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there are a lot of players who don't get the recognition that they deserve.
So if you're on the floor, you're in the room with the Hall of Fame selection committee, and it's not Jeff Legwald with ESPN who is more than likely going to present you, but it's you.
Mm-hmm.
What would your presentation for you be on why you should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, well, I mean, I it's hard for me to really talk about myself and, you know, to – pound my own chest, but I would just say, I mean, I played the game the way I thought it should be played. Not saying that's the right way. Not saying that everyone agreed with the way I played the game, but I felt like I played tough. I was a great teammate in terms of when new guys came onto the team. I did everything I could to get them up to speed. If I could help out any way, I would do that. And then, just flying to the ball kind of relentlessly. I know that play happened when I was in college where I was running to make a tackle, and I thought the guy was down, and I stopped. And the guy broke out of the pack and ran in for a touchdown. And, you know, I tell the story, like, that play really changed my life because my coaches, they got on me. They made a big deal about it. I went back and looked at film. I was like, golly, man. You know, if I'd have just kept going, you know, there's no telling what would have happened. So from that point on, I made the point until the whistle's blowing, I'm full speed to the ball, and until I see the guy down, I'm going. And I think I played with the high level of intensity. The interceptions, I dropped a few interceptions, and I think that I don't know. I don't even know if the voters go back and look at all of that, but I certainly dropped a few interceptions that I could have had. I know Shannon used to always see, but boy, do you always drop two or three interceptions at the Pro Bowl.
If you could catch, you'd have played wide receiver, right? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, I kind of dislodge people from the ball.
That's right. Ball should be on the ground when you're done with them, right? That's how it works.
Yeah.
No, you know what though? We just have to say congratulations. We're pulling for you. I know that when we had Mace and Ryan on, they said something to us that I thought really sort of encapsulated it. We as fans are kind of living through this vicariously through you. As I know that Broncos country is 100% behind you and believes you are a Hall of Famer. Even if the voters don't get it right, we know what the truth is. And so from us to you, obviously, we wish you the best of luck and congratulations on getting as far as you have, because it's truly an honor.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I remember when I was first a semifinalist, and I had so many of my friends that we played against over the years. They were going in, and I was thinking that it would happen, and it's over the years you start saying, maybe not. Maybe it's not going to happen, and I'm hopeful that it does, but I've kind of made peace with myself that, hey, if it doesn't, and I've been like this for a while, if it doesn't happen, it's not that. We already know it's not in the world anyway, but, I've still had an amazing time. I had an amazing time playing in the NFL, I had some great relationships and learned some valuable life lessons. So if it doesn't happen, it's just one thing, and it's not going to take away from all the great things that's happened since, I was first drafted into the league by the Denver Broncos.
And we're definitely doing our part with our 27-27 to
at least
to get the word out and see and have the voters who are on social media at least see it and pay attention to it so that they know that you're there.
Yes, I appreciate it too.
All right, let's go ahead and turn our attention to current events, I suppose. A lot of stuff going on in Broncos country right now. New head coach Gary Kubiak is not going to be with the team anymore.
He's not going to be.
Well,
coach?
I don't know. Maybe you know more about it than I do. You know, I go off of all of the reports. I guess nothing is finalized, but he's clearly not going to be the offensive coordinator, right?
Right.
Which
right.
I talk
yeah,
about.
I read, but now have the Broncos said that, or is that something that we've heard from someone else?
I don't know. So now you're making me think, because I came on your show yesterday and talked about how Gary Kubiak was going to be great with Fangio, and then all of a sudden I felt like I looked bad, like I wasn't paying attention.
Hey, trust me. Yeah, you were by yourself, man. We all were like, what the heck is going on here?
It's confusing.
I saw the tweet by Emmanuel looking at his phone like, what?
That was a great response, by the way. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it was great.
So I guess, give us your take on, let's do this. What's your take on Fangio as a head coach?
Well, I think that he's the right person for the job. And I really hadn't really studied a lot on him until he became the head coach and got a chance to see the experience that he's had, some of the players that he's coached. And you can just tell from when they announced that he was going to be the head coach, the response from the Bears players and the Bears organization, how much they're going to miss him and how, you know, they're wishing them good luck. That speaks volumes to me just, you know, about the type of person that they feel like they're losing and the type of person that we're getting. So, I think he's a guy that's going to be able to really communicate well with the players. He's going to be a little bit of a player's coach, but at the same time, he's going to hold them accountable. And I say players coach in terms of, you know, being able to have some fun with the guys. But again, the players know that, hey, there's a line that you can't cross. I'm expecting you guys to give it your all, and he's going to push them. And I think really this past season, that was something that we were missing, that I don't feel like we fully got 110% out of everybody every play. And it's vital with this league, at this level of football, that everybody's playing on all cylinders in every game. And I didn't see it all the time. I saw it some, but it wasn't enough for us to, you know, make it to the playoffs and make a deep run in the playoffs. So that's very exciting for me. And I would imagine Broncos country is extremely excited about the potential of seeing, man, if all our guys are, you know, 110% leaving on the field, fully invested, what can happen?
How will death by inches resonate with that locker room? Because it's a phrase that Elway mentioned and then Fangio talked about, and it's stuck with the fan base, and it's been one that's become incredibly popular. But how will that resonate in the locker room, knowing that he's going to want and demand perfection?
You know what? I think that's just what the guys want. I mean, none of these guys got to the NFL by taking the shortcuts, right? They're used to being pushed. They're used to, you know, playing at elite levels and giving everything that they have and being disciplined. They couldn't have made it here if they weren't like that. And, you know, as the years go on, if you're not reminded about it, it can slip a little bit, but it'll be very familiar to everyone in the locker room, and I think they'll be able to, kind of all be on the same page right away.
So, Fangio head coach, who do you look at for defensive coordinator? Where do you think they're going to go on that?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I know when Fangio first announced he was going to be the head coach, my first person came to my mind was, my former defensive backs coach, for 4 years, from I think 95 to 98, Ed Donatell. He was, you know, he came to my mind, and I was hoping that he would be available coming from Chicago. But I believe he interviewed for the Chicago Bears defensive coordinator position. Not sure if he's they're talking to him or not, but he would be a guy who I know that could communicate well with the players. He's an excellent teacher, and he gets the best out of his players as well. I'm sure that John and those guys, they'll look around and find the right person. And as we heard Coach Fangio say, above all, he wants his coaches to be teachers. And if you're not a good teacher, you're not going to be on the staff with them. So I have full confidence that he'll hire somebody who will be able to come in here and teach first off the defense, and then teach the proper techniques and kind of nuances of playing the position.
I got
one way that the Donatel move could happen is Chuck Pagano is going to be the defensive coordinator for the Bears. That was announced by Chicago media on Friday. So it seems like the move to Donatel could, I think it's one step closer.
Okay.
So there
all
we
right.
go.
Hey, that's, I got my fingers crossed for that, but we never know. I mean, I'm not any of those meetings, so I really don't know. I'm sure there are several really qualified people out there that could be the defensive coordinator. It was just really a matter of who Fangio, who interviews well and who has a track record of being able to teach and I won't say get on guys, but be able to motivate guys when you need to. A lot of times people think when guys get to the NFL that they don't need to be motivated, but hey, they do. I mean, you know, sometimes everybody needs a little pat on the back or a kick in the rear end. Not literally speaking, but you know, we all need it sometimes. And you know, the types of coaches that can do that will certainly get the most out of their players.
I like the idea of a teacher. And in case you don't know, I am a teacher. That's my day job. So if they need me to come out and do some teaching, I can do that. And I'll be happy to help out.
I've had John call you.
I probably would. I'd stutter too much. I'd get so excited. John always talking to me. All right, what do I do with that? So there's a lot going on here. And Ian, where do you want to go here? We got a lot of directions to take this.
Well, one thing that came out on Friday, well, along with all the Kubiak stuff, is it looks like the Broncos are also going to target Mike Munchak to be the offensive line coach. What do you think of that? And is it as big of a coup as Adam and I think it would be?
Hey, man, that would be like, you know, it's like Christmas or back-to-back Christmas.
I like that.
Christmas on the 25th and on the 26th.
We need back-to-back Christmases then.
Yes. When I saw that, man, I was like, man, can this really happen? But he's available. His contract is up with Pittsburgh, so he's certainly available. And I wonder if a guy who was interviewing for the head coaching position could humble himself to say, all right, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to come in and, would he be the offensive line coach or would he be the offensive coordinator?
Good question.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, would he come over and make a lateral move as offensive line coach, or, you know, could he, run the actual offense? And I'm not sure if he's ever been an offensive coordinator. I know he's been a head coach, but not sure if he's been a coordinator.
He hasn't been a coordinator. And I think one way that the lateral move could make sense is just like with Bill Kolar, the reason he came to Denver and got on Wade Phillips' staff was – because he wanted to be by family and grandkids. And then Munchak has his granddaughter and I think stepson and daughter are here. So
I think absolutely.
So I would absolutely love it to have him work with that offensive line.
Oh, so would I. And I would, you know, hey, well, whatever it takes, man. If you're interested in coming here, I'd roll out the red carpet and welcome them with open arms.
Yeah, definitely. And it all depends on who ends up being the offensive coordinator. And it's such a up-in-the-air situation right now. I think that, who knows what's going to happen with that. But are there any things that you want to see from an offensive coordinator? Anything that you think would be the best fit for the Broncos right now as they are constituted talent-wise?
Well, I want to get someone in here who is one who's a good teacher, who has a good offensive scheme, obviously, but who can teach the players in the most efficient way how to learn the offense and, you know, how to kind of go through a progression in their minds, each player at each position, of kind of what to do. I know when I played safety, there was a set routine I had for every play. You know, I look over at the sideline, see what the defense was. I look and see what personnel the offense had. Then I have to figure out, all right, which side of the tight end lining up. So I had to, locate the tight end. First thing when they come breaking the huddle, see which side he's lining up to, because I'd either be to his side or away from him. And, as the play started, I'd look at, various things, the receiver, and then to the opposite tight end to kind of get a feel for what's happening. But, that system that I had, I would like to see more players have. I know probably the majority of them do, but I can tell for sure a lot of them don't.
Someone who knows.
Has a great system, but even more important than that, just, again, a guy that could teach the system to the players and the players be able to go out and execute with excellence. I want them to be good at the things that they do. And they may not do a ton of things, but the things that they do, I want them to know it inside and out.
How much of a help would it be for Vic Fangio to spend the last season that he did in Chicago with Matt Nagy?
Oh, man, I can imagine. And, I remember when they came up to training camp and we had the joint practices, and man, that offense, they were hitting on all cylinders. And, we had a difficult time stopping them up in training camp. And, they had some really good players as well, but, sometimes guys would just be running wide open. It's not like they beat our guys. It's just they kind of out-schemed us. That showed me that Matt Nagy is a guy who is, on the cutting edge of offenses, and he's doing a good job of teaching the guys how to run it. They weren't on different pages. I think the players and the coaches were on the same page, and that's a big part of having success.
So to you, it's more about getting somebody in with a scheme that fits, not so much about who the guy is, but what he can do with the players that are on the field and the scheme that he's running, and being able to sort of win the chess match. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, I'm not so much into saying, all right, this system fits these guys on the roster, because you never know who's going to be on the roster from year to year. We can go in the draft, and or we can go, like I've heard some people saying, and we trade and get AB. Have you guys heard that?
We have heard that.
Heard about that, yeah.
I was actually going to ask you about it.
Well, if that happens, you got to just – if you're a scheme guy, you got to change your whole scheme up. So I'm into, hey, if you got a good system and you can teach it well, I think it can work with the players that you have. And, but again, you got to be able to teach the smaller nuances of the offense and defense. So when guys get in – situations that they haven't been in too frequently, they know what to do, and it just comes naturally to them because they've gone over so much in practice.
How do you feel about AB potentially coming to the Broncos?
Oh man, I would imagine him like everyone else in terms of the talent that he has. He's an elite talent. Now I'd be interested to see how he and Emmanuel Sanders will be on the same team. Because I know E, he's got that dominant A personality. I don't know if two of those guys could coexist. It would be great if they could, but I would love to have him on the team. The only question is, could Coach Fangio kind of reel him in a little bit? Kind of go off on the tent. Now he works hard. He's a hard worker. The only thing that some people question is his how good of a teammate he is. And, when you have rough times, good teammates are what gets you through it. Good teammates and good coaches are what gets you through it. And when you're having bad times, last thing you want on your team is a really selfish guy. And I don't know AB. I don't know if he's selfish or not. But, some of his actions seem a little selfish to me. But, to each his own in that regard.
Yeah, it just seems like some of the drama up there in Pittsburgh, they were able to get away with it because they were winning, and then now they're not, they had a bad season. All that drama sort of comes to a head. And, it's interesting you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders. They did play together in Pittsburgh, but I think,
right.
Emmanuel, when he was in Pittsburgh, he was a different player, at least status-wise, right? When we say his status on the Steelers was sort of Antonio Brown's, he was second on that team. bringing Antonio Brown to the Broncos with Emmanuel Sanders on the team, what would that do? Or would Emmanuel Sanders even still be around at that point? Would you maybe have to move on from him?
Yeah, man, with AB in town, it would be difficult to pay both of those guys the type of money that, you know, they both deserve and they're going to demand. So I would imagine, man, if AB came, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, Emmanuel, he's coming off an injury. You never know if he'd be willing to kind of work with the Broncos. I know he loves it here in Denver. So, but you never know. You never know, you know, if the financial part will kick in and his agent will probably be in his ear, hey, you can go to this place and get, you know, X million dollars more. So, you know, you just never know how this going to turn out. But, you know, from a coordinator, offense coordinator's position, or, you know, from a guy who, a former player who loves his team, I would love to see the both of them on the same team here in Denver.
Since we're in the midst of the playoffs, we constantly hear from coaches and players, former coaches, former players, that when you get to the postseason, it's completely different. That when you go from the regular season to the postseason, you can feel the difference, you can see the difference. How would you put into words the difference between the regular season and the postseason and what it's like to play in the postseason?
All right, so during the regular season, it's kind of like you're walking around, it's starting to get dark, and somebody has a flashlight, you know, from across the way, and you know, you can look at it, is that flashlight on me? But then once you get into the playoffs and as you get closer to the Super Bowl, the closer it goes from a flashlight to having that spotlight, you know, when the detectives have you in the room with the spotlight on you. So it just, you know, it gets way more unique, and, you know, you're kind of the only game in town. Like there's one playoff game today. Two today, two tomorrow. And then next week is going to be one on Saturday, one on Sunday, and then the big game. And, you know, so you always knew that there are just way more eyes on you. The more you win, especially at the end of the season, you're just going to have a lot more eyes on you. And for me, I just wanted to continue to play at a high level, continue to do the things that I did during the regular season, and, you know, try not to, you know, do anything extraordinary or try to make a play that is somebody else's play to make. Just, you know, do your thing. If everybody does their job, we're going to be fine. But if, you know, we start trying to do more than we can because of the stage, it could be a problem. So, yeah, I that's kind of how I describe it, you know, going from regular season to playoffs. And, again, the deeper you get into the playoffs, man, the bigger the stakes. And, you know, everybody knows this, hey, loser goes home, and we don't want to go home, you know.
It's almost like that description.
Yeah, it's great. You know what I keep seeing in my mind is that, like, a small light down at the end of a tunnel, and then as the playoffs get closer and closer, the light gets bigger and bigger, and then if you're not careful, that train's going to run you over.
Ooh,
and
right.
that's getting blown out in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Right.
So it's
right.
All, you know, darkness. Yeah, you're either gonna get past that train, or that train's gonna run you over. I love that image. That's great.
Yeah.
And you, I gotta say, Steve, you in your career, when the lights were brightest, that's when you were at your best. I would have to say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was fortunate to be on some really good teams and have coaches who put players in position to make plays, and you know, kind of took advantage of our skill set. You know, back then, guys, you know, in the AFC West, especially, we had these huge running backs running the ball. Christian Okoye, what's my man name? Marion Butts for the Chargers. Oh, man, Chris Marion Warren Butts for the Seahawks. Old Jackson.
Marcus Allen.
Who was that?
Marcus Allen.
Oh, yeah. Barry Word.
Word. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Man. It was just headache after headache. It was crazy.
You were either giving headaches or getting headaches in that scenario, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we knew going into the game, like, man, it's going to be a long one. Yeah, you're going to take a couple of Advil before the game and after.
You mentioned the bright lights of the Super Bowl. There is a play in the Super Bowl that highlights when we were at the beginning of the podcast, you were talking about that play in Arkansas. And the play that I immediately thought of was in Super Bowl 32 near the end of the game where you were going to knock out anyone who was around you.
What?
Oh, hey. I remember like it was yesterday, that ball going up. I'm like, wait a minute. I know we're in the fourth quarter. I can't let anybody touch this ball. And the next thing you know, I'm waking up, looking up at Greek and like, what's going on? But, that's a prime example. Like, got to go to the ball, go to the whistle.
Mace said that had they given out a defensive MVP for that game, it would have gone to you.
Well, yeah, if it had been defense, yeah, they don't do that, though. It's just one. There have been some defensive players who've gotten it in the Super Bowl. Von Miller, of course.
Von Miller, yeah.
But, yeah, I think if I would have caught the interception that I dropped, I think I would have had a good chance of getting it. But TV had an amazing game, too. So he and John, they both played well. And, you know, to me, that was the last thing on my mind. I was just happy that we won the Super Bowl finally and got that monkey off our back.
Sure, you got to lift the trophy, you know. And you guys got to do that twice. Twice.
Yes. That's right. Exactly. So I'm like, I don't care who's the player of the game. We just won the Super Bowl.
No, it's good stuff. And, I always say, like Ian said, you set the tone for that Super Bowl with the strip sack. So, to me, Super Bowl 32, without Steve Atwater's strip sack of the great Brett Favre, that game goes a different direction probably. So, that's always, like, my favorite moment. Everybody's got their favorite. That one's mine.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites, too. And, you know, I know Wade, you know, we had been practicing it all week. Greg Robinson. We had been practicing that blitz all week. And, you know, I got up in the game a little bit early. I went up in there faking it like I was coming, and I knew I wasn't coming. I had playing cover two. And, you know, as we got closer, I knew it was coming. And, you know, I think the guys thought that I was just doing the same thing I had done earlier and wound up coming and ended up working out well. And everybody did their part. Neil Smith got the recovery. And, hey, it was a good play for getting the ball back for the offense.
Before we wrap up, I want to ask you what it's been like to be in radio and develop the chemistry and rapport that you've developed over the last year and a half or so with Mace and Ryan on your first and 10 at 10 show, and how you've grown and what appreciation that you've gotten for the game that maybe you didn't have before you did the radio show with them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been really an amazing journey. And I remember when I was first on, I was on with Brandon Cristal. We had a show on a couple hours in the mornings, and you know, I know many times I still do this from time to time. Now they'll say some things and then they'll come to me and I'm like, I don't have anything to say right now. But fortunately, we got three of us. So normally, if Ryan, he makes a statement, and if I don't have anything to say, Mace has something to say. And every time when Mace, he's on his computer, you know, getting his calculations together, and, you know, he'll come to Mace. He's not ready either, and I'll pop in. So it's great that we have the three of us there to do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing journey. I'm learning every day. I know I'm not at my final destination, but in terms of how good I hope to become. But I keep showing up every day, you know, working hard and trying to improve, man. And, hey, as long as I don't quit, I won't lose. So, again, I got good guys that I'm working with. They're helping me out in any way that they can. And, you know, I learned a lot from them just, you know, being on air and, you know, seeing how much stuff Ryan does to keep the show going and, you know, coming up with interesting topics that people enjoy hearing about. And then, you know, making it fun for us to interact. And, you know, we challenge each other. We give each other a hard time quite a bit. Sometimes people may think that we're mad at each other, but we're not. You know, we forgive each other at the end of the show every day. But yeah, it's been great though. And I appreciate the game even more now, being in the media. But I start to understand that after I finished playing, it just how big of a part the media and the reporters, the TV, all of it's not marketing, but it is. You guys are keeping the stories of the players, the story of the football games, keeping it out in front of the public. So, they don't have to dig up underneath sofas to find the information, and you're making it readily available for them. And it makes the game more interesting, and it's attracting more and more fans at younger ages. And that does nothing but make the game better. And again, hey, it helps these guys make the salaries that they make because more and more people know about it. So, yeah, I do appreciate it. And I didn't know that it was as vital as it was back when I was playing.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Steve, I got to tell you, we definitely appreciate you coming on and joining us and chatting football. And I mean, it's a lot of fun for us, and it's a lot of fun to listen to you and sort of kind of see you grow in this career now, kind of as you did as a player with the Broncos, back in the 90s.
Yeah, I'm going from little league to grade school now. I got a ways to go to get to the league, though.
That's right.
You'll eventually get there. We have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep grinding.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.